Today on The Journey.
Wisdom from the world asserts itself selfishly, but the life that is characterized by wisdom has a humility as characteristic of their whole interaction with others.
Counterfeits are often hard to distinguish from the real thing, and some will cost you more than others. So it is with wisdom. The difference between the earthly counterfeit and wisdom from above is a price calculated not in currency, but in everlasting days. In this half hour, Ron Moore will help us discern the difference so we can make good decisions that count in heaven and here. Also, after the message, I'll let you know about Ron's challenging publication called Faith, Dead or Alive. It offers a vital examination of genuine faith. Faith, Dead or Alive is available as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with part two of a series titled Wisdom from Above, On the Journey.
Turn with me to the book of James. We're at chapter 3. We're going to look today again at wisdom. Each of us, men, women, teenager, young adult, grandmother, grandfather, every one of us need these characteristics if we're going to live godly lives. James chapter 3, let me read this passage and focus on a couple verses. Who is wise and understanding among you? James asks. Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But wisdom that comes from above, from heaven, is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace, they raise a harvest of righteousness. Today, I want to go through 9 characteristics of godly wisdom. How do you know if wisdom is coming from above? And when it does come from above, these are the things that should be evident in your life. We're going to go through them fairly quickly, so jot them down, and then you can think through them. And you can ask yourself this week, if not today, are these really the characteristics of my life? Would this demonstrate that these things are part of who I am? So here's the first one, humility. Look at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Now, James has told us that wisdom from the world is characterized by boasting. It's characterized by conceit. Sometimes that comes from the words we say, sometimes from the positions we hold, sometimes from the possessions we have. Wisdom from the world asserts itself selfishly, but not so wisdom from God. Remember, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. So the first person that a wise individual submits himself or herself to, humbles himself before, is the Almighty God. And having started there, the life that is characterized by wisdom then has a humility as characteristic of their whole interaction with others. The Greek word humility is pretty interesting. It was used of a horse that had been broken. So here's a very strong horse, untamed, and they would break the horse. And that word would describe humility. A tamed horse loses none of its power, loses none of its strength, but its power and strength is under control. That's what humility is. Power, strength under control. And when you become a Christian and the Holy Spirit comes and lives within your life, that strength of the Holy Spirit is what controls your life. Now, why is it so important to live a life characterized by humility? Well, let's let Scripture answer that. Just a few passages. Here's the first one, Psalm 25, 9. God guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. God guides the humble. He doesn't guide those who are arrogant. He doesn't guide those who are off on their own trip. But when his destination is their destination, he guides the humble. Proverbs 3:34, he mocks proud mockers, but he gives grace to the humble. So you want the grace of God in your life, the good gifts of God that he continues to give? Humility produces that. James chapter 4:10, we'll look at this later on in our study. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he is the one who will lift you up. You don't have to do it yourself. You don't have to toot your own horn. You don't have to live your life with selfish ambition, making sure that you assert yourself, because if you only assert yourself, that's where you're going to go. Humble yourself before God, and he'll lift you up to the position, to the place of influence that he wants you to be. Augustine was an early church father. He was born in 357 AD. He was the Bishop of Hippo in Northern Africa. He said, for those who would learn God's ways, humility is the first thing. Humility is the second thing. Humility is the third thing. Now, we're told that when we search for a home, there are three things, right? Location, location, location. Augustine says, if you want to build a home, then it's humility, humility, humility. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Second characteristic, if you look at James chapter 3, verse 17, is this, but wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. So not only do we have humility as one of the characteristics, but purity. Wisdom that does not come from heaven is sourced in the world, the flesh, or the devil. But wisdom that comes from God is undefiled by the world, is untainted by the flesh, is untouched by Satan. It is a wisdom that is holy. It is a wisdom that is set apart. Again, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. He is the one who sends wisdom to us. He is holy, so we would expect that wisdom coming from him is holy as well. And here's a question we can all ask ourselves. Is purity one of the characteristics of our life? And to help answer that question, we remember that purity or holiness means to be set apart. So if someone looked at your life, as someone looked at the way you do business, as someone looked at the way you are a mother, as someone looked at the way you parented your kids, as someone looked at the way you lived in your neighborhood, someone looked at the way you interacted with students at your school, would they say, that person's different? That person is set apart. That person doesn't live and talk and react and act like everyone else does. Theirs is a life that needs some type of explanation. Is purity characteristic of your life? There are a lot of things that we could talk about regarding purity in our life, but let's hit on two things that are pretty important. First of all, whether we want to admit it or not or talk about it or not, everywhere we go, we are bombarded with sexual messages. And we see so many families falling apart because of challenges or difficulties in this area. And purity is part of staying where God wants us to be in this area of sexuality. For teenagers, it means you stay pure before marriage. Promiscuity and purity do not go together. And certainly those in marriage must stay pure. Proverbs 6:32 says, a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself. So if you want to demonstrate foolishness, then you get involved in these type of actions. Purity sexually. But there's another purity I want to address, and that's doctrinal purity. One of the reasons why we want you not only to come to church on a Sunday morning, but be in the Word each week, is because you need to know what the Bible says. And once you know what the Bible says, then you can recognize the counterfeits. Unless you are grounded in the Word, you're not going to know what a counterfeit looks like. And we have a world today where you can get any book, you can watch television, you can get the videos, you can get the tapes of all this new stuff going out there. And everyone comes and says, this is the latest teaching on whatever. And we fall for it. The evangelical church does. And we fall for it because we don't know what the truth is. Listen to what Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it so easily. You hear what Paul's saying? He's saying there's a lot of stuff out there. It's Jesus, but a different Jesus. It's a gospel, but a different gospel. Sounds like the truth, but it just has a little tweak to it that makes it totally untrue. And you put up with it so easily. In fact, you accept it. Purity means that you're going to be pure in doctrine, that you're going to know what the Bible says so you can live it and teach it to others. Third characteristic, peace-loving. James chapter 3 again, look at verse 17, but wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving. The wisdom of man always leads to rivalry and competition. My kids do this, your kids do that. I have this position, you have this position. What I do is more important than what you do. And so we gain our self-identity by feeling like what we do is better than someone else. And you know, and I know, that there are always people to compare ourselves to make us feel better. But as a Christian, there's only one person we compare ourselves to, and that is Jesus Christ. And when we compare ourselves to Him, we always fall short. But when our focus is Him, there is a peace within our hearts of contentment that doesn't care what everyone else is doing, that doesn't have to keep up with every other family in town, that doesn't have to have some position of authority to make us feel really important. It is peace-loving. There's a contentment here that transcends everything else. Now, as humans, we will get off track. And God will, as a Heavenly Father, gently bring us back. And sometimes He does that through discipline. We learned in James early on that through trials, God never wastes our time, but He brings us back to the focus on Him. And listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 12. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained through it. So if you're going through a difficult time today, know that God's not wasting your time. Know that He, if you're a believer, He is using that to develop you in such a way that's going to offer a harvest of righteousness if you do it His way. And one of these days, you're going to be able to look back and you're going to see what He has done in your life. There's going to be a contentment there to say, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world around me. My contentment is not from there. My contentment is from my relationship with Jesus Christ. Wisdom is often gained through the process of difficult experiences, but God never wastes our time. He's going to produce in you what He wants to produce. And one of those things is peace, contentment. Fourth characteristic from above. Again, James 3:17, considerate. To be considerate means that you have regard for another person's feelings. There is a gentleness there. A considerate person is one who doesn't always have to have his or her way. Selfish ambition is not from God's wisdom, but from the world's wisdom. But this is a person who is willing to sacrifice for others. 1 Thessalonians 2, 6 through 7 says, we're not looking for praise from men, nor from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her children. What a beautiful picture of care and love and humility and contentment of a mother caring for a little child. Here's a fifth characteristic. submission. Look at verse 17. Submission is obedient to God. It is agreeable with others. A person who is submissive is not a doormat. A person who is submissive is a person who has their own mind. They can disagree without being disagreeable. A person who has opinions, a person who has conviction, but not so stubborn, they always have to have their own way. Not so stubborn that they can't sit down and listen to what other people say. In a marriage, there is what Paul calls mutual submission. And each husband and wife need to have that characteristic as part of their life. Sixth characteristic, mercy. Look at verse 17 again. Submissive, full of mercy, a characteristic that comes from above. Mercy, of course, is to have compassion, to have pity, to be full of something. In the New Testament, means to be controlled by that. So the wisdom that comes from above is controlled by mercy, controlled by compassion. And remember, God's grace is His giving us what we do not deserve. His mercy is His not giving us what we do deserve. And so are you willing, am I willing in my life to not give back to someone what I think they deserve? An unkind word, is it returned with an unkind word? Anger for anger. Sharp criticism for sharp criticism. That's not mercy. A person characterized by mercy is able to look beyond all that and respond with pity, respond with compassion, respond in wisdom that comes from God. James chapter 1, verse 22, remember, kind of the theme of James' book says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. So don't merely talk about having the characteristic of mercy. Mercy is something that is not verbalized. Mercy is always acted upon. Seventh characteristic, good fruit. Good just means dependable or persistent, and fruit means the result or the outcome of something. And so James says that wisdom from above is characterized by good fruit. The outcome is always the same. The outcome is always dependable. Characteristic of good fruit, wisdom from above, says that whatever the situation, whatever happened in the last minute, whatever happened in the last 5 minutes, whatever happened the day before, whatever happened the morning of, there is a consistency in your response. There is a consistency in your words. There is a consistency in your action. Would your children describe you as someone who is characterized by wisdom, by good fruit, by consistent, good product? Eighth characteristic, impartial. The word impartial means unswerving, means unshakable, singleness of mind, living with confidence. A person who is impartial, in the words of Scripture, is one who knows who they are. They don't have to have position. They don't have to have a title. They don't have to have something on their business card so they can slap it in someone's hand to impress another person. They know who they are, and they know who they are in Jesus Christ, most importantly. They know who they are spiritually, their spiritual identity. And based on that, they can live from that with confidence. They can live with that being unwavering. They can live with that in an unshakable way. Remember in James chapter 1, verse 6, he who asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. This person is wavering. Impartiality is an unwavering, being unshakable, having the courage to do what is right. Having the characteristic of being impartial means that it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. I'm going to live my life for Christ. It doesn't matter what every other family does. We're going to live our life for Christ. This is what is right. And it doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter if we even fit in. Remember, we are to be set apart. We're going to do what is right for Jesus Christ. There's a letter written to a son from a man who served in World War I. And this was written from the trenches in France as he was serving in the war. Listen to what he writes to his son. The first prayer I want my son to learn to say for me is not, God, keep Daddy safe, but God, make Daddy brave. And if he has hard things to do, make him strong to do them. Life or death don't matter, my son. Right and wrong do. Daddy dead is daddy still. But daddy dishonored before God is something awful, too bad for words. I suppose you'd like to put in a bit about safety too, old chap, and mother would. Well, put it in, but afterwards, always afterwards, because it really does not matter near so much. What's your prayer? God, help me do what's right. Help me to be impartial. Help me to be unwavering. Make certain that I do the things that are going to be right in your eyes, not what's right in the world. Remember, we're not talking about worldly wisdom, but wisdom from God. And impartiality is a characteristic of wisdom from above. One more. Sincerity. End of verse 7, chapter 3. Wisdom from above is pure, is peace-loving, is considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and it is sincere. The characteristic of sincerity means to be genuine. It means to live without hypocrisy. It means to live without masks. It means that your what you say and what you do match up. So many people live what they say and what they do, and you never can quite match it all up. But sincerity, genuineness, always matches. It always connects. Because this is a person who is genuine and sincere about their faith in Jesus Christ. Are you a person who lives with sincerity?
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. How do you know when your faith, or that of a friend or loved one, is a living faith? Is it proved by a walk down a church aisle, praying a salvation prayer, or attending catechism classes? Or is there other evidence that must be displayed? That question is asked and answered in Ron Moore's PDF booklet titled, Faith, Dead or Alive. In Faith, Dead or Alive, Ron outlines the characteristics of genuine belief and how you can perceive their presence animating your life. It's the most important waypoint on the spiritual journey. Faith, Dead or Alive is yours as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
Today we come to a subject that all of us deal with in some form or fashion, a subject of conflict. And today we're going to see the major sources of conflict in our life, and we're going to see how we're told in Scripture to deal with these issues. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. James begins with this question. What causes fights and quarrels among you? The word James uses for fight is literally state of war, two opposing forces coming at each other. He's using it figuratively to mean two people coming at each other. We don't use weapons, but we can say some pretty hurtful words, and we can deliver some pretty tough blows with the actions of our life.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your copy of Ron Moore's PDF booklet, Faith, Dead or Alive. It's a vital checkup on your spiritual health. Faith, Dead or Alive is available for a donation of any amount. You can get it online at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we want to invite Pittsburgh area parents and youth leaders to join us at the Bible Chapel on Saturday, March 21st from 9 a.m. to noon. We'll dive into the heart of parenting and what it looks like to raise a generation driven by technology and social media. It's the Bible Chapel's first relevant parenting conference titled Together, Raising a Social Media Generation. In addition to the ins and outs of social media, you'll learn from FBI agents who are experts in cyber threats. You'll hear from parent and student panels about their personal experiences in raising a social media and tech generation. You'll also walk away with a packet of free resources and an opportunity to engage in ongoing, relevant parenting small groups. Walk-ups will be accepted, but you must pre-register to ensure your packet of free resources and childcare. Childcare will be provided for infants through 10 years old. Pre-registration closes March 14th. Visit BibleChapel.org to register. That's BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.